Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I am joined, as per normal, by a head dude over at ScreenDemon.com and apparently someone who has become a snake or some kind of like high pressure valve, Lewis Gaston, who you can probably hear hissing in the background. Say hello, Lewis.
Hola!
And we're joined this week as well.
Bienvenue.
Willkommen. Is this what you're learning while you're being a teaching assistant?
No.
Oh, fair enough. And we're also joined this week by Dan Lee, who is filling in for Peter, who is still sick, but has managed to make himself sick in an entirely different way over the course of a week, which is quite impressive. So say hello,
he
Dan.
He does have a knack for doing that, though.
He does. Say it's hi, quite Dan. Impressive.
As the official voice of Peter, I would just like to say Star Wars sucks.
I saw on Twitter that you were
Peter,
going to do
I
that.
Can't believe you said that.
Peter's. He's. I thought he liked Star Wars, but now we learned the truth.
Yep. He's changed.
It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Lucy, you're going to hiss throughout the whole podcast.
I haven't hissed since I stopped.
All right. I thought I heard you.
I did it then because you reminded me, but I didn't do it before then.
All right, I thought I heard someone hissing. Sorry, I apologise.
So you should. Fuck.
All right.
Blame me things I haven't done.
All right, I'm sorry. Someone's clearly just got a snake.
I do enough stuff
somewhere
to blame me for. You don't have to blame me for things I don't have to do. That's true.
By the way, before we actually kick things off properly, have you met your terrifying child yet?
I'm not too sure I am going to be dealing with him because he's leaving in July and I don't get team teached or team taught till no, because the program's called Team Teach and there's no past tense to it, so I don't get team taught, team teach till October, so I doubt they'll let me loose with him, but I have seen him in passing, I haven't talked to him, and today he kicked off big time, so I was just stood in wonder at his truly volatile nature. It was awesome.
All right.
He was like punching windows and calling the headmistress a fucking slut. And then he was going, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to fucking slit your throat. You're a fucking whore. And like, there's about, I was sat in the corner going, oh my God. And there was like one teacher just sat on him basically. And you can't do anything about his swearing because he just won't listen. So you just got to let him calm down. But he's just going, I'm going to fucking kill you, you fucking slut. And I was like, whoa.
That sounds pleasant. I bet
Please
you're glad don't
put
that he's
me
leaving.
One to one with him.
Yeah, I bet you're glad he's leaving then.
Yeah, so I doubt I'll get to beat him. So at the moment, I think because term's coming to an end in July, I will probably just be a all round support.
Oh, that's good. And particularly, you've got the contract and you're getting paid over the summer and stuff.
I am,
which is awesome.
Yeah, so I mean the money's not great, but at least it's something. So,
to be fair, you do get paid holiday.
Yeah.
For like 6 weeks.
Well, it's more than that because you get half terms as well. But
well, yeah, but I mean,
but
you get a
it's
you
obviously
get like a,
stretched
get,
out, so.
Yeah, but you get a 6 week block.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like teachers who are over that 6 week block have to like prep lesson plans and stuff.
Yeah, all right, Chris.
No, I'm saying you got.
Yeah, no, I have got
lazy.
You got a cushy deal.
I had to take the class. Yesterday afternoon, so I was became the teacher for the afternoon, and I am too long a story, but the equivalent is a detention. So I gave my first equivalent of a detention, and
how do you have the equivalent of detention?
Because they don't have detentions as such in that school because of the nature of their behaviour and stuff. You don't have detentions; you have what's called golden time. So at the end of the day, from 2:30 till 2:50, they have what they call golden time, which is basically if they've been good all the way through the day, they get to do a fun activity for the last sort of 20 minutes of school. Whereas if they're shit, you can take that time away from them. You can either do it in minutes or you can take it away as one big block if they've been really bad. And I took I think about 5 minutes off this boy's golden time, and he accepted it at the time. But then he walked over to another LSA, like within earshot of me, and he said it loud enough so I could hear, and he went, exactly how long is Mr. Gaston planning on staying in this classroom? was like, he's gonna kill you, dude. I've made a friend.
Oh, so, yeah, that's awesome.
It's going well.
That sounds good. And that sounds weird. When you said like the equivalent of detention, I assumed they like put them
cages.
Just like dropped them down a well for like an hour.
Go to cage number 8.
Or it was just like, we just like teleport them into another dimension. They kind of just sit there for a bit and they come back. It's all right.
No, and also their age, because they're obviously primary school detentions. They don't do detentions like they do in secondary school.
Wait, this kid is in primary school and was threatening to slit the head teacher's throat.
Oh, that's the last of it. I obviously don't want to say too much. There's extremely little chance that anyone I know will listen to this, but because it's a specialist school, the majority of them come from extremely troubled backgrounds, which is the hardest thing to see. You see some of the parents, and that kid that kicked off, for example, you see his mum, and you'll understand why he's like the way he is.
Well, it's normally
and he
like
has
that.
No positive male role models either. So, and like we talk about films. We're not allowed to talk obviously about 18s or anything that's deemed inappropriate. So in this school's case, it's anything above 12 rating. And they're all watching extreme horror porn. And it's because there's just no control at home. So telling someone they're going to slit their throat is probably the least of what they do.
Cool. That doesn't sound great, but
no, I mean, like I say, that's the hardest thing to witness about it is the fact that you try and make things nice for them while they're at school, and so they have a good time, but when they get picked up, it all gets undone in the evening, and then they come in the morning in a mood or whatever sometimes. And then you've got to calm them down again, and so it's a bit of a battle against their home lives more than anything. Because the actual problems themselves, like autism and ADHD and whatever, you can control them with either medication or distractions or techniques, obviously. But you can't control the home life, which is the biggest problem. So,
what techniques? So you're like Dragon Fist or something?
Yes. Hadouken!
Let's talk about actual stuff. Now that we've
actual
heard...
stuff, that's my job, Chris.
Apart from that fake shit you've just been making up.
Yeah. Okay, I could talk about my job, but
that Dan's would be really probably dull. Now thinking that his son doesn't do that enough.
Exactly.
No, he's actually quite well behaved now. I'm failing him as a father.
How old is he? Wait.
2.5.
Two and a half. By 3, I want him to have at least threatened someone.
Deal. That's fine.
Just
bring him to Eurogamer and he can threaten me. That seems to be... Kids don't like me.
No one likes you, Chris.
That's true. Kevling's kids don't like me. right, podcast stuff. Actual things that aren't...
Can I just say, I call them little shits and all that lot, but I do obviously care about them, otherwise I wouldn't be in that job. But yeah, just to clarify that fact.
Thinker, it's quite appropriate that we talked about swearing a lot there, because Dan, you played Duke Nukem.
Well done. I hoped you were going to do that.
It was such an easy segue there. Oh, I didn't even have to think
I'm so proud.
I just went and looked at the list and went, oh yeah, no, I can transition from that to that quite easily.
Yeah, Duke Nukem. Whoa, what a bloody bone of contention!
Yeah, that I hear that's a game. I also hear you're a liar.
Yeah, incompetent liar.
Oh, I'm sorry, incompetent. You're not just a liar.
Oh, they found out.
But does that if you're an incompetent liar, does that mean you're bad at lying?
Exactly. I'm just really good. That's why I haven't corrected him, because he's just given me an amazing compliment.
Yeah, surely incompetent lying means you're like really truthful. Or you just lie a lot but lie really badly. So it's like really obviously. So like as you're punching a puppy, you're like, no, the puppy's fine. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said punching. I'm in a bad mood today. I don't know why I talked about hitting puppies. Puppies are cute.
So a couple of weeks ago you turned to domestic violence, and now you're turning to animal cruelty. And people call me the fucked up one.
I've never said I'm a good person. I'm a fucking terrible person. So yes, but I'm
wouldn't
not.
Wouldn't hurt you to say it once in a while.
Well, I'm not as bad as Duke Nukem by the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's unaware about the lying thing, it's some quite mad person decided to formulate a list, and anyone who gave Duke Nukem 50% or below, or 85% and above, was it incompetent, opportunistic bastards, and liars. Yes.
What? So it wasn't as if even you get let off the hook if you give them a glowing review. There's a specific between 50 and 85.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is...
It was amazing. Absolutely
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty special.
Yeah, I was going to crunch some actual numbers and see what came out of it, but then I couldn't be fucked. Seemed like a lot of effort to kind of go, oh, it turns out reviews aren't bad.
Well, there. Judging by the sound of it, that list must contain pretty much every single game reviewer under the sun.
There was. That list was, what, like 70, 80 sites long? It was like everyone. It was like IGN and Destructoid.
They've probably just gone to Metacritic and listed them as they appear on the list.
It's like Jim Sterling is a liar, and whoever reviewed it for Eurogamer is a liar, and the guys at IGN are liars. And you're like, oh, I disagree with those sites sometimes, but I'm pretty certain they're not just outright lying. I wouldn't go up to Jim Sterling's face and be like, you fucking arsehole, what are you doing? Like, I will happily admit I disagree with those people sometimes, because as much as reviews should be subjective, there isn't always an objective element to them. Mm. And you're going to disagree with people's opinion, but I'm not going to, because I disagree with someone's opinion, I'm not going to call them a fucking liar.
I wouldn't set up a website through all of that rigmarole either.
Yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. And then he closed the comments section.
I was like, well, you close. I really wanted to comment on that and just be like, what are you even doing? Yes.
I don't know how you carried on, Dan.
Well, yeah,
I know.
Have you not taken your own life yet? Surely.
Oh, I did.
The appropriate. And then you came. Then you got better.
Well, no, I'm just an incompetent liar, so I might have taken my life, but I could be lying.
Either that, or you're just incompetent at suicide as well.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on. The actual game is a pile of crap, I understand.
It's not a pile of crap. It's really weird. It has bits that are fucking atrocious, and then it has bits that are actually not too bad. It just kind of evens out into a really average game. I played the worst version, which is the Xbox version. But that's the version that sold the most, so I think I was right to review that version. I mean, the graphics are, you can tell basically it's a 14-year-old game that they've constantly tried to bring up scratch. Just looks awful. You got frame rate problems when you're not actually fighting any enemies. I had frame rate problems.
Yeah. Wait. So you have frame rate problems basically when nothing's happening.
Well, there's an absolutely surreal bit where you get knocked out by a boss, and I think this is a dream sequence, because you wake up and a stripper tells you you need to collect her a vibrator and popcorn and a tampon, I think.
What?
And you're in this nightclub, and even then, just you're in the nightclub with a couple of other people, and then there's slowdown. It's like, well, you're not doing anything.
Look, slowdown is never good, but to an extent, I'll be like, okay, well, there's like 10 tanks exploding on the screen. I'll kind of accept this to an extent. Like, it still annoys me, but you're like, okay, well, like this entire base is falling down on top of me. Yeah, this is going to, like, the physics engine is going to slow down a little bit here. But, yeah, when nothing is happening, you're just like, oh, I'm just walking along. Oh.
Kind of walking along, not walking along. Walking along very slowly.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, it's just a mess, technically. I mean, there's quite a few glitches I came across.
Was it like the A-team? I mean, did she managed to fashion something out of a tampon, a popcorn, and a vibrator?
Well, that's the thing, you never know. Because you get them, you get her these objects.
I'm intrigued.
And then she kind of takes her top off, and then that's it.
Wait,
it's like, that is like the weirdest thing I've ever done. It's like, did I actually do that? Or am I in my own fever dream?
You're like, no. Is that what it takes? Is that how strippers are being paid now?
Yeah.
You just like...
Yeah, it didn't go down well in real life.
Oh, dear. That game sounds confusing.
When bits of it come together, it's really enjoyable. There's some quite decent sections, but for every good section, there's like several bad.
I've never played a Duke Nukem.
No, neither have I. I was too young, really, when it came out.
That's the thing. I've always liked Duke Nukem games, but I've never held them in like massive regard. A lot of people seem to put them on a pedestal.
Is that purely because of the language and the humour and the content of it?
Well, that wasn't really the defining thing about Duke Nukem 3D, was it, from what I understand?
I understand. Yeah, it was a decent game. Yeah, really good.
But that sort of the humour wasn't what everyone loved about Duke Nukem 3D. It was like, it did a lot of really interesting things. It kind of did all that, like, you can play pool and all this kind of stuff. Which, even, like, games now aren't doing that level of interaction very often. It's kind of interesting.
Well, that was one of the better parts of the game, was the interaction. Yeah. Like, you still play pool, you can play pinball, air hockey, and I think even just stuff like looking in the mirror, you can boost your health meter and stuff like that. So it's quite good.
I like that. See, that all sounds really interesting, but every other element of it sounds really and just why? Why does this game exist?
Yeah, it's got a lot of old issues. Like, we've come a long way in terms of games since Duke Nukem was started.
It just kind of seems like they were very much like, we need to just get this gone, and then we can make actual Duke Nukem games that we want to make.
Well, yeah, that's what they said this week, didn't they? There would be more stuff coming out. Yeah.
It's like a week after it was released, and we're like, the response seems to be, A, what is wrong with you? Guys should love this game, which is odd. I don't like developers telling me what I should like. And B, yay, we're making more Duke Nukem because we spent a shit ton on the license, so we should probably do something with it.
But none of you can review it because you're all blacklisted.
Oh.
Allegedly.
It was probably Gearbox that started that website.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh. There was a little bit of me thinking that when I saw that. It was like, oh, is this just from Randy Pitchford? Is that what he's doing in his spare time now? But I'd like to say that website is probably not run by Randy Pitchford, if anyone gets very angry about that. I'm sure Randy Pitchford seems like quite a nice guy, to be honest.
Don't they all?
Well, Peter Molyneux doesn't. Peter Molyneux just seems nuts.
Peter Molyneux seems like a patronising cunt.
Particularly after what we've heard. Well, he's normally, though, he's meant to be quite nice in person. Like, yeah. I've never met him, but I went and there was like an hour-long presentation that he gave. And he's very charming and really interesting. But at E3, when he was talking about Fable the Journey, he did sound a bit nuts. Like, in the closed-door press presentations, sort of telling everyone that it wasn't on rails and things like that. I don't know what's... maybe he's finally lost it.
Yeah. That would make for a really interesting Fable game, though, from the mind of an insane Peter Molyneux.
No, I would totally buy a game by Peter Molyneux going properly crazy, like no one holding him back for once. I'd love to see that. Or if we could actually somehow just take Peter, like the view Peter Molyneux has of a game in his head, and somehow just translate that into the actual game.
That would be amazing.
It would be incredible. That actually would be the best game ever.
Be like a unicorn on ecstasy.
I'd play a game of a unicorn and ecstasy in it. That sounds awesome.
I want a new black and white. Do you? I like black and white.
Black and white was good. I'll give you that. And you could have giant monkeys in it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it had humour. And you could chuck villagers around if they piss you off.
So, yeah, in general, recommend or not recommend Duke Nukem?
I would give it a rent just because it's Duke Nukem. 14 years in development. You just have to play it.
Yeah,
really.
Should I, given that I'm being offered a free copy, should I play it?
Yeah, why the hell not?
I might as well give it a pot. The problem is I have actual good games that I want to finish first. Still got Dead Space 2 just taunting me.
Yeah, I mean, Duke Nukem is fairly decent length for a FPS. You're going to get about 10 hours at least. So.
Yeah, which is actually long for modern FPSs, which is a little bit depressing.
It is when it's so friggin' average.
Moving on, Lewis, you saw X-Men First Class.
I did.
Mm. Do you want to talk about it, or is that it?
No, not really.
No, yeah, fair enough. So moving on, I saw Green Lantern. No, go on. Tell us about X-Men.
It was good. I thought it was... I didn't really know what to expect, but I didn't know if they'd gone the... I didn't know if they tried to make it a better film or tried to make it darker, that type of thing, or if they were sticking to the sort of popcorn-friendly actioner. And I think for the most part, they've stuck to the popcorn-friendly side of things, which is understandable for an X-Men film, I suppose. Yeah. The only thing that annoys me about that is the... story of Magneto and Professor X, I think, is probably the most interesting out of the whole mythology, in my opinion. And they do it really well in the film, but there's not enough of it. It feels quite, it feels abandoned at times. Like you actually get into their relationship and the way they bounce off each other and sort of guide each other, and then all of a sudden it will cut to a shitty comedy. Moment or an action sequence, and at least that's what I thought. I know, Dan, you've seen it as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think that's, I don't know if they had much of a choice, because people would have gone to see this film expecting that type of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was good. The plot was simple, but I thought was quite well done. So it was basically Charles Xavier and Eric Lenscher.
I think it's Lesher.
Lesher. Sure. Okay. They sort of happen to bump into each other and then obviously form what we know as the X-Men. And they go up against Sebastian Shaw. I don't know. I couldn't work out. Was Sebastian Shaw Apocalypse?
No.
Oh. It's just that they didn't call it, that was just his name. He didn't have like a mutant name. And he looked like Apocalypse when he absorbed energy.
No,
he's
like, just
got big hands and stuff.
It's because he's like a proper English gentleman, and he would think having that kind of code name is vulgar and stupid.
No, he's American in this.
Oh, maybe he's American.
Kevin Bacon.
Hmm. But he's kind of like, he's meant to be very upper class. Is he quite upper class in it, at least?
No, I mean he's rich and what have you, but no. I wouldn't put him down as upper class. Okay. It doesn't come across as upper class. Mm. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it actually. It was good. I don't want to be too harsh on it. It's not darker in the sense that, you know, you can't take your kids to it, but it is a bit more violent. And I think that's because it's written by the people that wrote Kick-Ass. And obviously the director's the same as that as well. So Jonathan Ross's wife. So there's one particular scene with Magneto he's tracked down some German people that he wants to kill. So he like stabs, he gets his dagger and stabs a bloke's hand through the table. And then just like basically stabs loads of people up, all three of them in the bar, which I thought was quite dark for the X-Men films. So yeah, it had that good element to it, and I like young Beast. I thought, because in the films I thought he wasn't given enough. I was always a fan of Beast. I thought he wasn't given enough time, but I thought young Beast was quite quite good. And the other thing that I came away with was trying to think of his name now. Azazel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The teleporter, like Nightcrawler.
Well, he's Nightcrawler's dad, that's why.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Ah. Basically he was a bit of a player because he was trying to like rebirth his species, so he went and slept with a load of chicks and had loads of teleporter kids. So it turns out basically like every teleporter in the Marvel universe is just Azazel's kid.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well done. Mm. Well done, Azazel.
I don't know if it's mentioned in that, yeah, but Nightcrawler is his and Mystique's.
Oh right. Oh, is that why blue? No, they didn't. Allude to any sort of relationship or anything between the two of those.
Yeah.
In fact, no, they didn't. They didn't. But having said that, obviously they've got X-Men Origins Magneto coming out, so I don't know if.
Oh, that's been kind of shelved though for the minute.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's a shame.
Kind of temporarily. The Deadpool film's still on, but
yes.
But but it's not. It's not going to be Wolverine Deadpool. I was reading the other day, and the Magneto film looks like it's kind of not. It's not dead, but they said maybe that it will get made in like 5 years.
Oh right. But yeah, I mean, what was about Azazel was I couldn't get my head around the fact that he looked like the Dirt Devil. And it was just a bit too cartoony for me. He does look like the Dirt Devil.
Oh, you knob, you've ruined it for me now.
And I thought the effects were quite, like the effects, especially where he's bringing, Magneto's bringing the submarine out, the thing. But the main thing I sort of thought and said in my review was, given that we had Nightcrawler invasion of the White House at the beginning of X2, which was brilliant, I thought, Azazel's sort of dancing around seemed a bit wishy-washy, apart from when he drops people from a great height. And the whole submarine thing, again, it looked great, but what with him moving the Golden Gate Bridge in the third one, again, it didn't seem like anything new. So overall, I thought it was a good film. I just think it was probably, if anything, it came across as a little bit too rushed to fit in with, obviously, all that universe that's going on at the moment from whoever's got the rights to it.
Yeah.
Who is it? Universal?
For which one?
20th Century Fox.
Yeah, I think it's Fox.
Yeah, that'll explain it. Yeah, it seemed a little bit rushed, that's all.
I think Fox have pretty much all of the Marvel rights that Marvel don't have.
Oh, right.
Most of them, anyway.
So, yeah, that was my thought of X-Men.
Excellent. Staying on comic book movies, I went and saw Green Lantern, which...
Shit.
Was not as good as X-Men sounds. Well, partly that was because I didn't realise it was in 3D, so I didn't take my 2D glasses. And so I kind of sat there and went, oh, I feel slightly sick and have a headache throughout the whole movie. So that's a great way to watch a movie.
To be fair, by the sound of your voice, even if you wouldn't have worn them, you would have walked away with a headache and felt quite sick.
And that's probably true. And also, I realised that 3D is stupid.
Yeah, it's gone a bit crap.
Isn't it? Yeah, you're like, I was just watching it. I so rarely watch stuff in 3D, and I was just like, I don't see the world in like three distinct layers.
No, that's what I was. I can't remember what it was on. But someone was saying the other day, it's not 3D. It's depth of field.
Yeah.
And they were saying like in the 80s when you had the red and green glasses, it may have been seen as tacky, but things actually seem to pop out the screen at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is just more like a heightened depth of field.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, I don't see a layer of people and then like a layer of stuff like in the middle distance and then a big layer of background.
You're missing out. It's fantastic.
That's not how I see the world. I don't know. It's impractical in a cinema situation, really. But what I want more is like the head tracking stuff, because then things actually do feel like they're in 3D more. But yeah, like I said, that's more for home entertainment. It's not really practical in a cinema because you can't track like 500 people's heads. at once. But anyway, so the film is bad, I would say. Well, no, it's not terrible, but it feels like they were like, okay, we need to cram all of this into one movie. Yeah, that'll work. I watched World for Spider-Man 3, remember? Yeah.
of course.
So that was just kind of like, oh, so you go do like Green Lantern's origin and have him trained and Parallax and Sinestro might be evil all in one film. Like, yeah, that's how we're going to do it. And like, that seems like a lot of plot points to cover in one film. And it was, it turns out. So you get like, you get like an hour where you get like 20 minutes of Hal being like, oh, I'm Hal Jordan, my life's all crap. And like, I'm an idiot and that kind of shit. And him basically being how Ryan Reynolds is in every movie ever.
You shut your mouth.
Basically, remember when he was in Two Guys Ago in a Pizza Place?
Yeah.
He's basically that character.
I don't know though. I quite like that because I think that's where he excels.
Yeah, I just kind of
sort of sarcastic.
Oh no, I totally agree. I just kind of wish he wasn't that character in like 95% of his movies.
That would have been my biggest problem with this film is I can't picture Ryan Reynolds doing anything serious.
He doesn't do anything serious. He's not serious at any point in the film. Yeah, Buried.
Watch Buried, and you'll see that he's actually. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in Buried.
Yeah, which makes
I fucking love that film.
But the thing is, that makes it all the more depressing because you're like, well, I know he can do serious.
He can do it, yeah.
And Hal Jordan isn't meant to be, like, well, when he starts, he's not meant to be, like, super serious. But it would be nice if he was a bit less just like, man, I'm going to be, like, a typical jock and all this shit. And all the ladies love me. And you're like, oh, God, I hate you, Ryan Reynolds. and then he's like, oh, I got the ring. So he does what he does in like every film. It's like, oh, I got the ring, so I have to have some responsibility. Oh, I don't like this responsibility, so I'm going to run away. For maybe like 75% of the film, the fact that he was Green Lantern felt largely incidental. You're like, this is just the plot of every other Ryan Reynolds movie. He just happens to have a ring on. That seems to be the only difference here. So that's what. So basically, it's the typical arc. And then he talks to some girl, and then a girl from his past, and the girl from his past convinces him that he should probably take the responsibility seriously. Does this sound familiar?
Spider-Man.
Stop bringing up Spider-Man.
and then he hits people with green stuff. Kind of what
don't
happens.
We all. It's what Lewis does, but he gets in trouble.
That's what happens when you don't get treated in time.
Yeah.
Splat.
I don't. I guess it was kind of nice to see a movie that, like, a superhero movie that tries to be at least a little bit funny. Because, well, I guess 4 tried to be funny, but 4.
Sorry, what?
Shut up.
Sorry, no, I genuinely didn't hear what film you said.
Oh, 4.
I did hear. I was just.
All right, thank you. But it tried to be funny.
It's 4, yeah.
But all the humour felt really forced.
That's 4.
Yeah.
Or Green Lantern.
4.
4.
4. In 4, it was kind of like. I mean, did you see it?
What, 4?
Yeah.
I haven't seen 4, no.
It kind of felt like a bad sitcom in places.
4.
Yeah. Stop. Just stop it. Just let me talk about things and don't mock the way I pronounce stuff. It kind of like, it's all very much like, oh, you're from Asgard and different to us. Let us make light of these differences. It almost felt like, you know, really bad stand-up comedy, which is like, black people drive like this, but white people drive like this. Mm. It kind of felt a little bit like that in places. And Green Lantern, at least, I think, felt the humour felt less forced than that. And it kind of all felt consistent. Whereas there is like 25 minutes in the middle of four that is literally just an episode from a sitcom. Whereas Green Lantern kind of it all feels more consistent with the story. And it's not, I'd say it's probably the worst superhero film I've seen so far. Well, maybe not apart from Spider-Man 3. It's not, it's better than Spider-Man. it's the worst that we've seen out of like these recent years of superhero movies, if you know what I mean. Like since it's kind of had this big rebirth. But yeah, I guess it's...
Was it better than X-Men Wolverine?
Because
that was shit.
No, I quite liked X-Men Wolverine.
Oh my god, that was dire.
I liked bits of it. I thought it was alright.
I loved the ending because you got to see the real Deadpool.
But yeah, I know.
I mean, Wolverine was shit.
But I think... it's hard to call because they are quite different films. I don't know. I think I preferred Wolverine to Green Lantern, personally. And Green Lantern just kind of felt very formulaic, and there were scenes in it that were literally ripped out of like, you know, like a boot camp scene in an army film.
Yeah,
they were literally like, "What if a boot camp was like for space police?" And that's literally like what? That's literally a couple of scenes. And you're like, "Oh,
isn't that
God.
Just space bruising?"
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it's worth watching, but it's not fantastic. It's kind of just like average. Here is an action movie, which to me doesn't really feel good enough compared to the other superhero films that you could be watching instead.
I'll give that one a miss then.
Yeah, I wouldn't maybe get it when it's out on DVD, but I wouldn't pay to go see it at the cinema.
Doi, doi, doi.
And all the stuff with Parallax is just kind of, who's the villain? You like this
Parallax? Yeah. It sounds like something you take for diarrhea.
But you're like, but I was watching, I was like, this was like a good year's worth of comics. And you've crammed this into the last 40 minutes of a film badly. Oh dear. Yeah, maybe skip that would be my advice.
Do you think in some way that it's different for you seeing it because you have the extensive comic knowledge?
I do always think that. I think I can be too hard on stuff, and I kind of admit, I will say, I feel I can be too hard on comic movies because I know about the comics and stuff. So, particularly when they sort of...
Not that invalidates your opinion.
No,
I
no,
just wondered.
But I get what you mean. And particularly, I think, when they take storylines from comics, because you're like, well, I know what this was like in the comic. So, like, X-Men 3, I was, like, watching, I was like, you took Dark Phoenix, which is, like, the one of the greatest X-Men storylines ever, and mixed it with a mediocre throwaway storyline from, like, 25 years later, and then did neither of them justice. You didn't even do the average storyline justice. This is bad. Yeah. But anyway, moving on from weird constructs of light in Green Lantern to just general weirdness. Dan, you played Child of Eden.
Nice.
Yeah.
Two in a row.
That was a bit laboured. But I was like, I'm going to put Child of Eden after Green Lantern. I can make some fucking link here.
Yeah, Child of Eden. Absolutely fantastic game. Although it's a bit of a bitch to try and explain, because on paper it sounds shit.
No, but Davs was trying to explain it to me. He was just kind of like, is it a game? I don't know. What is it? I'm so confused.
Yeah, I have no idea what Child of Eden is, so...
Brilliant. This should go well.
You kind of... From what I understand, you kind of shoot things, sort of. And then there's Kinect, and then the internet, and...
I think the problem is you've have to really have played Rez first to get an idea of what Child of Eden is.
Isn't the minor flaw in that is like 60 people have played Rez?
I thought that was quite popular. It's out on Xbox Live as well.
It's Rez does not seem a huge... Well, no, Rez seems popular from our perspective in that we're like game critics and stuff. It doesn't seem very popular with general population people.
Oh, no. No, it won't be. And judging by the fact that Child of Eden charted at 25th, I don't think this is very popular either.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because it's fantastic. The actual game... No, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, well, the problem with selling Child of Eden is how do you like write the blurb for that on the back of the box?
No, you don't. You just show loads of pretty colours. Look at it! Look at this! Just buy it!
The only one selling point you could have for that is you bought Kinect and now you could play something that's not Dance Central. And that's about it.
Yeah, that is true. Well, the game is basically a on-rail shooter. But it's like an on-rail shooter playing with a unicorn on acid type thing. That's how weird it is. It's just... I can't even explain it. It's just...
You're on acid or the unicorn is on acid?
Both.
Oh, that sounds fucking crazy.
What about if you're both on acid and you're on the unicorn?
That's just a police offence, really.
Oh.
Put it away. Police.
Quartered again by the law.
What it is this takes place in the future, and the human race has kind of gone off into space to explore, and the internet is now called Eden, and it has all the knowledge and experiences of the human race. They just kind of put it on the internet, and kind of deep in the memory of this Eden is the memory of the first woman who was ever born in space. And she's like an actual person inside the internet, but she's under attack from a virus. So it's your job to try and save her from this computer virus. So there is an actual story before the madness.
Yeah, because that story sounds like it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It also sounds batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yeah. But,
is it Japanese?
It's made by...
This is like as Japanese as you can get.
I was going to say, that makes a bit more sense now.
Yeah.
Once you know something's Japanese, you can forgive it pretty much anything.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. The visuals are outstanding. And every level has like an underlying beat to it, musical score. But everything you do in that level has an effect on the soundtrack. So, for example, you look onto an enemy, it produces musical beats. You fire, it produces musical beats. And when you destroy the enemy, they produce a musical note as well. So you're adding to the soundtrack with everything you do.
Cool.
And when you string it all together, it's an amazing soundtrack.
So it's not a musical game, that's just another element to it.
It's basically like a musical on-rail shooter, because music is a very big part of it. Just like everything you do creates a new sound. Even if you try and fire and nothing's there, it will still produce like a clapping noise, just to kind of keep in time with the beat.
Sounds quite cool.
That's cool.
The biggest problem is you can finish it in under 2 hours.
Yeah, making that a full retail game is not a good idea.
The problem
is that full retail.
Yeah, I got it for £30, but even so,
does it have a lot of replayability?
There's a fair amount, but even so, it was originally announced as a downloadable game, so I don't know why they put it out as a retail product, because if that was the type of game that was on Xbox Live for £10, I guarantee you that would have done really well. But for £30 to £40, and no one was really sure about what it was, except like the specialist press.
Yeah.
It was bound to flop, and it did. It's got some really good Kinect support, though, because basically your arm controls the aiming of the weapons and stuff, and you're just kind of sweeping your arm across the screen. It locks onto all these enemies, and then start to fire your guns. You just kind of flick your hand forward, so like in an outward motion, kind of like using force powers, kind of like that, and it just launches all the things. It actually works really well without any lag. It's a shame that they've gone to all this effort, made Kinect's best game, and no one bought it.
Yeah. Because it does sound like they kind of nailed some of the Kinect control aspects, which everyone was really dubious about.
I was really impressed, especially as there's no lag. And in a game, it's basically a high score game, so you need to have precision, and it works really well.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't think it's being used as a tech demo, so that they're working on something else to...
No, because, I mean, they're bringing it to PS3 with Move as well, so it's not just a quick game
Let's
to get out the door.
Do it, yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
right,
okay.
And I think when I read one of the stories today, it might actually have 3D for PS3 as well, which will literally melt your face.
Yeah, but the advantage at least there is because there's no Kinect. Can you imagine playing like a Kinect game in 3D?
That would be wicked. I don't know. Would it be wicked? I just can't comprehend it.
I think your brain would just implode at some point. You'd just be a gibbering wreck on the floor.
Wait,
too many senses.
I can't take this much immersion.
Well, that's the thing. It was bad enough just playing it on a normal TV. After like an hour, my eyes were killing me. It's just so bright. So in 3D, it's going to have to come with some kind of government health warning on it.
Yeah.
Warning, this game is Japanese.
Yeah. I get the feeling it's a game that would do better on PS3 anyway, because PS3 seems to have a more accepting user base.
Yeah, it's true. I'll give you that. I kind of think maybe there are games that need, like, country of origin stickers on. Like, anything from Eastern Europe does, particularly stuff from Russia. Have you guys played PC games from Russia?
No, I always wanted to play Metro.
No,
that's not from Russia. Is it from Russia?
No, I don't think
so. It's just a Russian story, isn't it? Yeah, so ignore me.
Mm.
We try to, but you keep talking.
Fuck you.
But anything from like Eastern Europe and Russia is batshit crazy in like the opposite way of Japan. So it's batshit crazy and it's all really depressing. And Japan's batshit crazy and all really happy.
There's something there, isn't there, geographically?
Yeah.
What happens that makes Russians so depressed and then you cross the border and they're all so happy?
It'll probably be all the poverty, I would imagine.
Poverty, schmality. Something to do with the alignment of the planets and the equator.
I'm guessing the poverty and the fact it's really fucking cold all the time.
Oh, cold's much better.
Yeah, but it's pretty cold there. Plus there was the whole, like, communist regime we might send to Siberia part. That's probably not going to make you super happy.
Yeah, I think that communist thing was blown out of proportion.
I'm not sure it was particularly blown out of proportion. I mean, there were a lot of communists.
For the record, I know nothing about it.
Well, to be fair, if we're talking about batshit crazy things, like Stalin was pretty... No, not Stalin, Lenin. Lenin was proper crazy. I mean, Lenin or Stalin? Stalin.
I was going to say, Stalin wasn't particularly the nicest of people.
No, Lenin was all right. Stalin was like, I'm going to go to war, but first, I'm going to kill all my generals. I was like, what are you doing, Stalin? This doesn't seem like a great plan.
He can't hear you.
What? Yeah. he should be able to. Fucking stupid dead people. Right. Anyway, moving on from me. Damn you, Stalin. Lewis, you played True Grit. Watch True Grit.
You didn't link that one,
no,
did
I was
you?
Gonna, I was waiting for that. I was going, how the hell is he going to do this one? And
Well, I'm not sure I could link Child of Eden and the Child of Eden to Stalin to True Grit sounds way too difficult.
Well, some people just don't got it there.
Either way, True Grit. Coen Brothers. Cowboys.
Yeah, the new one. You what?
Cowboys.
No, they're not cowboys.
Is it got cowboys in it?
No.
Oh, what's in True Grit? I thought it looked like cowboys in the poster.
No, it's I mean, it's set in it's a western.
That's what I meant by cowboys.
Well, be more specific because you got it wrong.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Good. Check your facts next time.
Bitch.
Anyway, it's obviously based on the John Wayne movie. I prefer the John Wayne movie, I have to say. It has a bit more character. But the Coen Brothers version is very good still. Has Kevin Bridges as Rooster Cogburn, who is a marshal.
Wait, Kevin Bridges? I thought it had Jeff Bridges in it.
Kevin, I didn't say Kevin Bridges, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Kevin Bridges is the Scottish comedian.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sounded really interesting for a minute there.
No, it's got Jeff Bridges in.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's just Jeff Bridges in because I, the whole time, like every time I saw a poster, I just imagined it across between a Western and Tron.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say Jeff Kevin Bridges.
You totally said Kevin Bridges.
You did. Or did you? I'm a liar.
An incompetent one at that, so I didn't say it. Jeff Bridges plays Rooster Cogburn, Marshall, and he is hired by a 14-year-old girl called Matty, who is seeking to avenge her father's murder by chasing down an outlaw into Mexico. Indian territory, they call it. And Matt Damon plays a Texas Ranger who also gets involved in the hunt, and Josh Brolin plays the outlaw, Tom Chaney. And it's just basically about this girl who's extremely intelligent and like wise beyond her years, searching for, like I said, revenge, and then Rooster's like a drunk, washed up sort of marshal. And it's basically just their sort of journey to chase down this bloke and avenge the murder. But and other than that, there's not much to it. It's very, very scenic. Obviously, what with the landscapes, it basically Red Dead Redemption. That's all I kept thinking of when I was watching it. It's like, oh, looks like Red Dead Redemption. But it is a very good film. I think, like I said, I prefer the original because it had a bit more character. Jeff Bridges was good in it. I don't understand why he got all the hype around award season, especially when obviously his role was almost identical to Crazy Heart. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's obviously a brilliant actor and it was a good performance, but there was nothing there that stood out. He didn't seem challenged by it. And same for Matt Damon. But the girl, who I think is called Hayley Steinfeld, who played Hattie. Hattie, what the fuck am I talking? Matty.
Are you sure you saw this film?
I'm sorry. The girl who plays
Hattie. No, oh, Maddie? Matty?
Shut up.
Matt Damon. He was, he's never been as good as in that film, to be honest. He's taken a dive since then.
I know. He should have got an Oscar for that. But yeah, the girl in it, she's
what's
absolutely
her name?
Brilliant. Couldn't give a toss.
Is that her Indian name?
She's absolutely brilliant in it. She's really good. And it's a typical Coen Brothers film. Well, no, it's not typical actually at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's not as
do you actually,
violent.
Do you really want to talk about this film, or should we talk about something else?
No, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know. It's not a typical Coen Brothers film. It's not as violent, and it's not as adult orientated. It is similar to No Country for Old Men in terms of pace, styling, and sort of the character side of it rather than the story side. So yeah, I think I'd give it 4 stars.
Out of 5 or out of like
4 out of 5
or out of like 100?
4 out of 5.
Okay.
5.
I was talking about this the other day. Why do games, like in-game systems, they seem to use, whenever they use star systems, it's like it's never out of 5. Really irritates me. Star systems have to be out of 5. It's a rule.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I wouldn't go above 5 stars is because if you end up with 10, like trying to get 10 stars next to each other takes up quite a lot of room.
Exactly. That's why you need like 5. Plus, like the other context you see stars is there at the number of years someone's worked at McDonald's, and no one wants more than 5 McDonald's stars.
You'd say that, but anything above that, you get paid quite well.
Probably, yeah. You're probably managing somewhere if you stuck with McDonald's 5 years. It's kind of like the Klingon system where you advance by people above you dying. Like, if you've stuck at 5 years, probably everyone above you has left by that point.
I think likening the McDonald's employment system to the Klingons is actually quite impressive.
I know. I do my best.
Good. Well done.
And yet you can't segue Child of Eden to True Grit. Amazing.
Well, I'm sorry. I do my best to segue, you know.
McDonald's to Klingon.
From Child of Eden to Child of Texas.
No, that wouldn't work. That'd be awful.
Oh, I just had a mini thick.
From... I was going to segue this. From one type of warrior in the Old West to another type in feudal Japan. I don't know, is Dynasty Warriors Gundam? No, it's not feudal Japan. It'd be in future Japan.
No, it's just
Dan,
in space.
Dan, you've been playing Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3.
That link was shit.
Oi, you should bitch when I don't, so I tried to like come up with some vague link.
Yeah. How about trying a good link?
Quiet. Dan, you played Dynasty Warriors Gundam. Is that also crazy Japanese?
It's probably the craziest game I've ever played in my life.
Oh, is it crazier than Child of Eden?
Yeah, because I just don't even know what the fuck is going on.
Well, the problem is that they've taken Dynasty Warriors, which is pretty crazy anyway, and then kind of stuck it with Gundam, which is also fairly crazy by itself.
That's the problem. They've got Gundam, but they seem to have every single... Just because you know that Gundam had many different...
Yeah.
Like, they've got every single one. I was looking through the achievement list. It's just like they have literally every single one in there and they've mashed the stories together. It's just my face hurts and my head hurts.
Have they mashed the Gundam stories together with like the Dynasty Warriors story? Because that'd make literally no sense.
That would probably explode my Xbox, to be honest. It's like, what is this shit? Yeah, I think it also takes the record for having the most on-screen enemies at a time. I think I asked the developers today how many it had, and they said they didn't want to give me an exact number. But hold on, I just got the actual quote they gave me here. Their specific aim was to kill 1,000 enemies every 5 minutes.
That's mental.
To be honest, they've actually kind of pulled that one off because I think within 15 minutes of me playing, I'd gone way over, like, I think I'd gone 2,000-3,000.
Oh, Jesus. But is that not like, that's more than you'd kill in, like, Geometry Wars, and all you do in Geometry Wars is kill enemies.
Well, that's the object is because you've got the Gundam suits, you're way overpowered, so you just basically wade through all these people like they're not even there.
Yeah.
And then just, you've got your... like hyper attacks as well, and then you've got a in-game partner as well. You can summon them in for an attack, and it all just goes fucking batshit crazy. Everything dies, and then you move on to the next area if you're still conscious.
Yeah.
If just the
sheer quantity of Japan has not caused you to fall into some kind of coma.
Yeah, it's I'm actually really enjoying it. It's I don't know when I'm ever going to finish it because I think it's got 300 missions and each mission lasts like 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like this thing's never going to end. But for fans of Gundam and Dynasty Warriors, this is like the best game in the world ever.
Well, that seems fairly obvious just from the title.
Well, no, I mean, the second one I don't think was that good. I'm not sure. But this one seems to have rectified.
Have they fixed it by just putting every Gundam in? They're like, all right, fuck it. The second one was not good. How can we fix it?
Put
more
it all
Gundams.
In.
It's just clearly someone.
I think it's got 120 Gundam you can use.
That's insane.
Or you can upgrade them all.
What the fuck? That sounds absolutely crazy.
That sounds like they just... The team were just really undecisive. Like the designers came in and went, right, we've got 120 suits. And like, oh, I really like that one. Oh, I really like that one. Fuck it. Use all of them.
There was clearly someone in like a business meeting who went, "We, you know what? We have the fucking license for this shit. Just go for it."
Well, that's, yeah. And they can all be upgraded as well. And your pilot can be upgraded. Oh, my God. They like, you got... I can't...
Does
my mind can't process
end?
The figures. I don't know how I'm going to review this thing.
I just can't.
Start off with like bodies everywhere.
Look, genuinely, if you write a review and it just says Japan 9 out of 10, I will let that through.
Brilliant. I mean, the first, like, even the first 15 minutes are baffling because it goes through the game because it's got like a strategic system where there's an overarching level map which is split into several smaller maps, and you have to go into each of these little maps and defeat all the enemies to claim that area as your own. But while you're doing that, the enemies might appear in a piece of the map you already own and take over that, so you've got to go back over there. So it's like a game of chess. And the first 15 minutes is them trying to explain the strategies and stuff, and it's just like, oh, fucking hell.
You know what's coming next, don't you?
What?
Dynasty Warriors Gundam Pokemon.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be wicked.
How many Pokemon are there? There's like 50 million.
There's like 659 now.
Exactly.
That's a lot of Pokemon.
The next challenge.
The chance to kill them would be epic.
Oh, Jesus.
Just get Pikachu by the tail with the big ass Gundam mech and just kind of just injure him.
Injure him?
In front of his wife. Make her watch.
Pikachu has a wife? When did that happen?
I don't know. I think Dan's just taking it rather sinister.
Yeah, just let me have this. Let me have this!
Yeah, well, you go sit in the corner and think about killing Pikachu in front of his wife and kids.
No, you brought kids into it. I said wife.
Well, I always like to bring kids into it.
So yeah. have you managed to work out what the plot is yet?
No.
Is there a plot?
Yes.
So there's a plot, but you have no idea what the fuck it is.
It's going to be an interesting review. Like, the story is there. And this is the bad thing is I'm like an hour in, and I still have no idea what's going on.
No idea what's happened. So you're just like, there were Gundams, I killed a lot of, I don't know, I shot stuff.
You really need quite a decent knowledge of Gundam, because I think it's taking quite big liberties with the fact you know what the hell's going on.
I mean, how good is your knowledge of Gundam?
The last time I watched it was a good few years ago. So
is it as good as your Naruto knowledge? Because that did seem to come in handy in the Naruto review.
Yeah, it's not even close to that.
Oh dear.
Struggling a bit.
That doesn't sound good. And Naruto didn't seem that complicated.
No. That was the walk in the park compared to this thing.
Oh dear. This isn't going to end well.
I think I can see it getting quite a decent score. It's just I will still have no idea what the hell's going on.
You just get to score it in like number of things you shot.
Yeah. No, that will kind of break the site. I don't think the site goes that high.
Can you just
50 billion?
Can you
well,
just
I mean, you get an achievement. I think you get an achievement for 100,000 kills.
Oh God!
And I think that's
what it sounds like. You're going to get that within
that's,
like 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to go after this podcast and just mop up a few.
Are you? Can you put that in, like, you know, like in the pros cons bit? Just like pros shot X many people.
Yeah. Cons, my controller is now fucked.
Just one of the triggers just won't unstick anymore.
Yeah, the X button is basically smooth flat with the surface of the controller.
Cons, I now have to go into rehabilitation.
Yeah. My thumb just twitches randomly now.
You know it's a Japanese game when, like, you need the developers there to explain what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I have been in quite good contact with them.
Yeah,
like, please tell me what's happening!
I don't know, I'm so scared.
Am I meant to kill it or hump it or what?
It's also the fact that, like, you're less than an hour in and you've already had to contact the developers. Just going, what the fuck?
Yeah, just that was literally the email. What the fuck, man?
What is this?
How many people exactly am I looking at here?
Yeah. I mean, hats off to them. There is no slowdown at all. When you think of Duke Nukem couldn't manage a stripper and a dildo without slowdown, this has got like hundreds and hundreds of enemies all shooting lasers at you and runs perfectly fine.
Yeah, well, that's good, at least. To be fair, by the sound of it, this game, like, needs to have no slowdown. It would be fucking awful if there was slowdown.
Yeah, I've played similar games. It wasn't Dynasty Warriors, but it was Capcom do a similar one. Samurai Heroes or something, and that had slowdown, and that was a nightmare. Trying to chop your way through like 100 enemies with slowdown is shit.
Weirdly, I think there is a Samurai Warriors, which is a spin-off of Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, that's Koi as well, I think.
But to be fair, Dynasty Warriors has a spin-off for like everything ever. Anything you could want, there is a Dynasty Warriors spin-off.
I want God of War, Lego,
Dynasty Warriors.
I bet you if you email Technico, you're like, just a question. Is there a God of War Dynasty Warriors in development? No comment.
Yeah, I'll just get the ninjas round the next day. So. In regards to
I
your email.
I want God of War Lego.
Oh. To be fair, I would buy God of War Lego.
Can they get over the fact that Lego's a kid's toy and God of War's probably just an ultra-violent motherfucker?
Yeah. Do you know what's weird is David Jaffe said when he was making God of War, he based a lot of it on his life.
Oh, yeah.
of course he did. Me too. Yeah.
Number of times I've gone down the market and seen, you know, the crazy bloke with chains wrapped around his wrist and blades seared to his skin. And
but apparently, he just means that he was very angry when he was making this game. You kind of like, I haven't even played God of War.
Wait, is this his confession to murder?
It on your life?
No, but like, I look at God of War and I'm like, well, yeah, of course you were fucking angry. I didn't need you to tell me that. I think I could have figured that out.
So, Chris, what you're basically saying is this is Jaffe's secret confession of hundreds of murders.
Yes, exactly. It's Jaffe's secret announcement that he is actually a god.
Of
fact.
A serial fact. Killing god.
Okay. Moving on.
Why
happened to my voice there? That was weird.
You become a man.
Yeah, my voice just broke in the middle of a podcast.
Hello.
We must guess you're a woman.
Quick, say penguin. Maybe it's changed.
Oh, it will never change. Right.
Penguin.
Competition time.
Penguin.
Mr. Lewis.
What?
Competition time.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Unless you wanted to say anything more about Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
I've never played it.
I was talking to Dan. But...
I know, I was being facetious.
Anything else?
No, I just, there's the words.
I'm not sure we really, to be fair, we talked about that for like 10 minutes, and I'm not sure we said anything about it in that 10 minutes.
Because I don't know.
Nothing. You really shouldn't have put that on the list, just like I played this game. Right.
I'm just softening everyone up for the review of utter gibberish.
Oh, God. Oh, this is going to be a nightmare to edit that review, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're not going to know what's right or wrong. I could put anything in there.
As you're going through this, I'm like, this doesn't seem like a game to me. Let's just.
And then a dolphin came out nowhere.
Oh, man.
I mean, this seems really disjointed. Is this all right, Dan? Is this what actually happened?
Yeah, I'm just rocking back and forth. Yeah, it happened, yeah.
That's probably what happened. I don't remember. I tried to block it out after I played it.
Stop judging me.
All right, Lewis, competition time. We had the competition last week.
Yeah.
Did people enter the competition last week?
Yeah.
And they okay, so what was last week's music?
Metal Gear Solid.
Do you want to play the music? You normally play the music at this bit.
No, I don't, because I've stopped doing that, because I'd normally say, shall I play the music? And you go, nah, fuck it.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Just
be consistent.
Have the courage of your convictions, yeah, and be consistent.
All right. For
fuck's sake.
All right, calm down. It'll be all right.
I'll fucking calm down.
When I've taken these tablets.
Oh no, that's the Crovendale advert.
Just lying around, just in case.
That was your piece of music. Happy now?
I'll concede that was definitely Metal Gear Solid.
It was Metal Gear Solid. So I've got 9 correct answers in total. So if one of you would like to give me a number between 1 and 9.
Go for it, Dan.
Because I love to make Lewis count. 9.
Well, that's not because I just go to the bottom of the list.
Oh.
8.
Ah,
7.
In your face, motherfucker. Number 9 is Colin Barr.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's all right.
It was Colin Barr, so well done.
I don't know, though. He's from Scotland. It's not a good thing.
Everyone that wins this competition is from somewhere other than England. We've had Scottish, Irish, Netherlands. Honestly.
Wow, no one variety.
Yeah, exactly.
3 places, man.
Shh.
Oh, dear.
Fuck you. I'd also like to mention Emek Crash's entry. I'm not too sure if he's getting in the spirit of the podcast or if he is just an angry young man. Because his answer was, it's the motherfucking song from the motherfucking Metal Gear Solid Love Your Motherfucking Podcast.
Word.
Word indeed.
Hmm. So yeah, Colin Barr. And I have... Oh, for fuck's sake. Hang on. I have 3 DVDs left. So if Christopher, or Christian rather, because you're...
Because that's actually my name.
Because you're a hippie. If you would like to choose between 1 and 3.
Slightly less than pi, please.
3.
Yeah.
What? All right, just be normal. We've talked about this, Chris. No one's going to respond to your pi-based riddles.
The square root of 9.
Imagine you ordering stuff in McDonald's would be a nightmare.
Right.
the square root of 12 milkshakes, please.
The problem is, Dan confuses me when he asks me to count to 7. You've just asked me for the square root of 9.
Yes. Square root of 9 is 3.
I worked it out eventually. I'm just saying. Keep it simple,
It would be easier if I said numbers, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
That's how asking you for a number would tend to go.
I'm sorry. I'm Peter's not here and someone has to play up.
Peter's not here, so you've reverted to talking in mathematical riddles.
Yeah, that's what happens when he's not around. It's terrible.
Don't do that. It confuses me.
Did you not see the site when Peter was off sick? It was just the whole thing was maths for a week.
Me
and Dan were going to take it over and make it the Nintendo Axis because both Peter and Alex were away for a week.
It's a good job you didn't because Nintendo's shit.
Controversial.
Not really. Who on the 6 Axis doesn't say Nintendo shit?
Well, Blair.
And he can overpower him.
And Alex.
He's kind of evil. Kill us all.
He probably would kill us all. Send his child after us to kill us.
3.
Yeah, 3. Sorry, yes. What is 3?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's a good film.
I like that film.
It's amusing.
Eugenia Doubtfire.
Okay. And this week's competition is...
So fucking bossy.
Yeah, I am.
Non-stop. Do it in my own fucking time.
All right, calm down. It's all right.
Mainly because I haven't got it ready yet. It's all right.
It's all right, Lewis. We'll get there. Is this how you have to talk to, like, your kids at school?
No. You just go for it. James, don't get off that chair.
I'm gonna fuck you up.
That's what I was like in the staff room afterwards. The other LSA was telling people about the fact that I'd given that boy detention. And so I was like, they were going, oh, you didn't take long. I was being quite cautious when I first started. I was like, I ain't scared. I'll take them all down. I was like, James, detention. And if any of you little fuckers want to play up as well, I'll take you all down.
Just fucking make an example of him. Just beat him to death.
I got drunk on power against like 8-year-olds. Good times.
Yeah, it can only end well.
Okay, so this week's piece of music. If you know which film this piece of music is most commonly attached to.
Oh, this is going to be like a trick question.
Because it's not technically from a... Well, it's a piece of music that's been iconically used in a specific film. Yeah. So here it is. Hmm. So, if you know what film that is from, or, like I say, most commonly linked to, email me at lewis@screendemon.com.
Isn't it Lewis Gaston at Screen?
Lewis Gaston at Screendemon. All right.
Every week you forget your... It's just your name. You don't have the most complicated email address.
It's got a surname. Yours has got a surname.
That's true.
lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
Okay. Anyway, the quiz.
The quiz. Unfortunately, I haven't had, obviously, being now busy all day, I haven't had time to do an audio one again. So it is taglines.
Okay.
Ooh.
Do you have that amazing tagline from the dolphin movie that I sent you?
No.
Do you remember that dolphin movie picture?
What was it again?
It's the one where they're trained to kill the president.
Oh yeah,
and the tagline is just like he unwittingly trained them to kill the president. I was like, I don't need to see that film now. That's not really a tagline.
Oh, I should have done a silly tagline. that Orcs film though, that was in Asda.
Yeah,
I had to take a picture of it. Orcs, they will eat your face off. I was like, oh, that is brilliant.
That's a tagline. That's more of a threat.
Yes, like, that's exactly what I needed to know from that film.
We shouldn't do this quiz now because nothing will ever top that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. You're going to be this tagline, so we are, Chris, it's just not as good as Orcs.
I've let myself down.
In fact, any one I don't know the answer to, which will be most of them, I'm just going to say it was Orcs.
I like your theory. I mean, you're wrong, but yeah. I like the theory there. So you need to write 1 to 10.
Yes. Okay. Already done.
I can good do boy. That. Give me a second.
You get a sticker.
You're gonna stick what?
Good. Is this another motivational tool from school? Is that how you're gonna do this podcast now?
Yeah. Basically. Chris, if you don't stop behaving yourself, I'm gonna take minutes away.
What minutes?
Do you want that to happen?
I don't have any minutes.
But do you want that to happen?
The answer is probably yes.
Wait, does that... But that, all the free time...
Dan, was I talking to you? If you've got a question or you want to say something, you put your hand up.
But all the,
how do you know my hand wasn't up? You just ignored me.
Doesn't matter.
You just ignored me. Just like my father does.
All the free time I have goes into...
Now's not the time, Daniel. Do you want to go sit outside Mrs. Brown's office?
Oh, yes, please.
Go on, then.
Well, thank you. All the free time I have going to TSA, so taking minutes away would just mean that I do less stuff on TSA.
Do you want more minutes?
Oh, shit, no.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Write 1 to 10.
I have. I still have the one...
If you need to know how to spell 1 to 10, it's on the board.
I still have the one from last week.
Okay. So, you need to tell me what these taglines... which film these taglines belong to. Some are easy, some are hard. Like me.
You're just easy.
I'm easy and hard.
Well, to be fair, it's easy to get you hard.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. I'm easy and I'm hard right now.
Oh. I really hope you're not hard at school because that would be bad.
Oh yeah, no, that's inappropriate.
Really?
I have to strap it to my leg. Just to make sure.
Oh no.
Okay, taglines. Yes.
Taglines.
We are professional here.
Taglines. Okay, number one. just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water.
Box.
Are you giving us easy ones to start off with because you pity us?
That's an easy one, just to get you into the flow.
Because you were like that last week with Josh as well.
That's an easy one to gain your attention, you see, gain your focus and draw you in.
I'm not a primary school child.
You fucking will be.
All right.
By the time I've finished with you.
That's a really that's like weird...
The weirdest
really
you would have regressed. You would have progressed so far.
That's just different. It doesn't make very much sense.
I don't fucking care. I'm not... I'm tired.
Right, go on. Let's do this.
Right. Number two.
Yes.
This ain't no chick flick. Yeah, you're not so cocky about that one, are you?
No, I've got the answer.
Number three. The story that won't go away. Number four. The true story of a real faker.
Well,
Number five. In space, no one can hear you scream. Six. We are not alone. Seven. His story will touch you even if he can't.
The story of Lewis.
It's tragic. It is a tragic story. What number am I? Eight.
Ten.
Eight.
I am a ten. Number eight. You won't believe your eye. I thought it didn't get worse.
I have like one.
From zero to hero. And numero ten. One man's struggle to take it easy. So, how many do you think you got?
I'm confident I have all 10.
Fuck, really?
Bloody hell, I have like 3.
That could be a record for Chris.
Yep.
Well, record for the podcast. Okay then, number one.
Jaws 2.
It was Jaws 2.
I see. Dan, did you get that?
Nope, I just got Jaws.
It does say, just when you thought it was safe to go back into
the
water.
That was
I
the
don't care.
Number two. True story of a... No, sorry. This ain't no chick flick.
Was it Orcs?
You're not confident you've got 10 at all, are you?
I have 10 things written down.
No, it's not Orcs.
Some of them may be Orcs.
I mean, technically, yes, it's correct, but the Orcs isn't a chick flick, but that wasn't its tagline.
So, some of them may be Orcs, that's all I'm saying.
No, that was Chicken Run.
Oh, okay.
I genuinely got excited that you had all 10 for you then, Chris.
I'm sorry.
You've disappointed me. No, that was Chicken Run. Number three, the story that won't go away.
Is that Orcs?
Dan, did you have anything for that?
I think I've broken Dan.
No.
That was JFK. Number four. The true story of a real faker.
Is that Catch Me If You Can?
That is Catch Me If You Can.
I actually got that one.
So, what is the fucking score?
I think I've got one.
I've got two now.
Number five. In space, no one can hear you scream.
I'm not sure. Is it 2001? A Space Odyssey?
No. What did you say, Dan?
Alien.
It is Alien.
Oh, fuck. I knew something like that.
To all. Number... whatever number that
six.
Is.
Six.
We are not alone.
Is that Contact?
No, it's... I can't remember the name of it.
Close Encounters that's, of the Third Dark Kind.
Spot. That's, yep.
Number seven. His story will touch you even though he can't. Even if he can't.
Is that Ghost at a Guess?
No. Daniel?
No.
Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, of course.
Number eight. You won't believe your eye.
Is it Orcs?
No.
Because he'll eat your face.
10.
No.
Monsters, Inc.
Oh, but like, I was going to put that, but I was like, I don't remember that tagline. Never mind.
Number 9, From Zero to Hero.
The Mask.
Yeah, is it The Mask?
It's The Mask. Yep, 3-all. And last but not least, One Man's Struggle to Take It Easy.
At a random guess, is it Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 4-3 to Christian.
That's 2 weeks in a row I won.
That's only because Peter hasn't been in.
As soon as
there is a common denominator there. Not that I want to take your success away from you. Well done and all, but
oh, thanks.
It's only because Dan's about as useful as a chocolate teapot.
Racist.
All right, inflatable dartboard.
Racist.
So yeah.
Well done. To me.
Thanks. Oh.
Right.
Yeah, well done to you and all that.
Yeah, because I'm fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's what you think.
That's what I know.
You don't know shit.
No, I know quite a lot about shit.
No, you don't know nothing.
Oh. Wait, you don't know nothing? Sure, that means I mean...
You don't know nothing. Don't say double negative. Yeah, sure, that means... I've had about 3 kids today go, double negative? Fuck off.
Are you sure you're in the right?
you are terrible at this.
Oh my God. Don't patronise me. They're like 10. One of them turned around today and went, this dice game is really... No, we were playing dice and it's basically easy math. So you have to roll a dice. If you get a double, you have to add the two numbers together and then write down whatever the outcome is.
Yes.
This girl went, this dice game is really easy. In actuality, she completely misunderstood the game and got it completely wrong. So every answer was completely wrong. But she was going, this is easy, this is easy. And this other kid, give him credit, he is clever, turned around and went, well, this dice game isn't made for the likes of me. You know, people with my brain power should not be doing this. And I just wanted to punch him. I just thought, you're so conceited.
Don't punch your future ruler.
He's got a head that looks like a future ruler.
Why? Because you put the ruler in it.
We're not allowed rulers.
You can see why. Has Chris died?
No. Why are you not allowed rulers? Is it because you fear that
they can be
they see what Lewis has done with them.
Yeah, it's not a classroom rule, just Lewis isn't allowed rulers.
The kids can have rulers.
Yeah, I'm not allowed ruler. I can't help myself. You've got a ruler, you've got to measure it, haven't you? You know, it might have grown.
This takes a while to undo the straps. Then you got to get someone to hold it.
Oh, I've got to put the brick back on for another week.
What did you mean? Would you like to clarify?
Index finger.
Oh, okay.
It grows.
Fair enough.
That sounds like a horrible problem.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird.
I just got like a really long ear. I'm like one of those monkeys that forages in trees.
Are you like massive. You like fucking Hellboy just filing the end of it so you look normal?
Oh, no, I don't bother filing it. I think it's quite cool.
All right.
And plus, if I ever get stuck in a wood forest or anything, I can forage for grubs.
Plus, it does mean when you flip people off, you really flip them off.
Oh, yeah. It means, like, you ever start doing that, you end up tickling their tonsils.
Right, let's do questions. We don't have very many. And this is already degrading quite badly. This has gone downhill. Lewis, apparently...
It's your fault.
Apparently you have CC Star's suggestion.
Yes, no, he sent me a link for the first pictures of, what's his face?
Hobbit.
Yes, Martin Freeman as the Hobbit. And he looks like a Hobbit.
For a second I thought you would say Morgan Freeman.
That would be wicked.
Yeah, but we discovered a few weeks back that everything is Morgan Freeman. It's just Morgan Freeman in disguise. Morgan Freeman plays Martin Freeman. Playing Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, of course, obviously. I don't know. I'm worried about Morgan Freeman being in it.
I'm more than Freeman.
God. I wish Morgan Freeman. I wish there was just like a button you could press on your computer, because you know there's like if you have your computer.
Pray to God.
No, but if you
that is Morgan Freeman.
But if you got
it was there with you all the true. Time.
But you've got you know like computers have like the accessibility thing, and if you have it set for like people with bad vision or blind people and it like reads things out. How awesome would it be if that was Morgan Freeman's voice? So Morgan Freeman is just reading websites to you.
We should make that happen.
Oh my god, Morgan Freeman could read Twitter to you.
Do you know what? Genuinely, you could make that happen. You could pay him $1 million to read it, but he's such a cult figure that you could make that back in a day.
Yeah, you would. You'd get Morgan Freeman to just sit in like a voice booth and say, no, you wouldn't even need to.
He could do sat nav as well.
Think about it. Morgan Freeman's narrated so many movies at this point. You don't fucking need to pay him. Just go through movies and get snippets of Morgan Freeman narrating stuff.
And then just get him to sign a bit of paper saying we can use his voice.
Yes.
But yes, no, I saw the pictures of Morgan Freeman as Bilbo.
Yeah.
And it looks good.
Be awesome. It does sound like it should be interesting. Although, is he making it like
full of British people? Is he absolutely chocked?
Is he making it like 3 movies or something?
No, it's 2 movies, but filmed back to back.
Okay.
It's all being done in one long stint.
I was just a little bit surprised about it because, like, compared to the Lord of the Rings books, The Hobbit's quite a small book.
Don't know.
Given that I could actually read The Hobbit, and I got bored, and I tried to read Lord of the Rings.
What?
Purely because no, not out of a this is a shit story kind of thing. More out of a
Dan breathe.
Gotta go play Gundam to calm down.
It wasn't out of a it wasn't like a Tolkien can't write because he clearly can. It was more of a man. This is really long, and I am distracted kind of thing.
See, I've read Lord of the Rings trilogy, but not The Hobbit.
Yeah,
I don't know about.
I read The Hobbit, but I haven't read. I read The Hobbit and, like, I think half of the first book of Lord of the Rings.
But, yeah, no, it looks really good. And like I say, it's got shitloads of British people in it. It's even got Sean Slater from EastEnders.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. It literally does have everyone in it at that point. maybe Morgan Freeman is actually in that film.
I was reading the cast list because I was like, oh, got James Nesbitt in it, and Benedict Cumberbatch has been confirmed for 2 voices now. 2 parts. He's doing Smaug, the dragon, and someone else. I can't remember.
Obviously,
going down the list, and then it got to that bloke, and I was like, oh, who's that? So I looked him up on IMDb, and it's Sean Slater from EastEnders.
And, I mean, obviously, Ian McKellen's in it.
Yes, he was in one of the pictures.
And Patrick Stewart.
He looks exactly the same.
Patrick Stewart needs to be in it.
Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen need to be in pretty much everything.
Just together. Just because at all times you just think they're going to turn into Xavier and Magneto. Just watching any film. In the middle of The Hobbit, it just turns into an X-Men film.
See, I'd settle for Gandalf and Jean-Luc Picard.
That'd be fucking awesome.
That's the shittest battle ever.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Picard's come back in time because of the Q Continuum and found Gandalf.
Oh, so like he doesn't have like the Enterprise backing him up.
Oh no, he goes down on, like they're going down on away missions, but he's got the Enterprise orbiting the planet.
Oh, well that's not a fair fight at all, really, at that point, is it?
Well, the Borg turn up.
Oh, okay. Well, and so then they unite to fuck up the Borg.
Yeah, and then Gandalf, like, stands on the front of the Enterprise, you know, like a Rolls Royce hood ornament, as they drive forward, and Gandalf's doing, like, some spells.
What happened to oxygen at this point? Does he not?
Oh no,
to
Gandalf's
drink?
Magic. Gandalf's magic. He's got like he's got a magic beard
that
breathes oxygen for him, like feelers on like a bit of coral.
Yeah, but there's no oxygen, is there?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He generates oxygen.
Ow.
Leave him alone.
Ow.
But I don't know. He's got a fucking reticulator on his back.
No, he just generates oxygen. Not because he's Gandalf. That's just what Ian McKellen does.
Yes, he is a generator of oxygen. He's like a tree. He's like the Amazon.
That's how awesome Ian McKellen is.
In fact, that's what his staff is. That's why his staff's so chunky and wood.
Because I love it when you talk dirty.
So yeah, the pictures are. I mean, they've omitted the Enterprise and Jean-Luc Picard from the pictures of The Hobbit, but I'm pretty sure that's what they're working on.
Yeah, just because they want to keep it as a nice twist.
Yeah, yeah. No one's going to see it coming.
The end of the first movie. It's like in the Marvel films, so you know, like the post-credit scenes in the Marvel films. At the end, like after the credits of The Hobbit, the Enterprise just flies into scene.
No, it won't even be that. It will just be like something like they. I mean, they almost did it in Lord of the Rings, the first one. You know, when he fights Gandalf fights Balrog.
Yeah.
And then falls off.
Isn't he from Street Fighter?
Shut up. They were gonna.
yeah, I was gonna say that. Oh, that doesn't sound right.
It's the same thing. Balrog. Balrog. However you pronounce it. It's Balrog.
That's another shit fight.
Right.
That, anyway, he's hanging off the cliff and he gets beamed up. That's what they were going to go for originally.
Oh, man, I'm going to watch a Street Fighter movie tonight. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Chris, swear to God. Stop it.
But I like Street Fighter.
But stop it.
It has Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
We can help you, Chris.
Coming out there.
No.
First of all, you need to do is set fire to every copy of Street Fighter that you
own. There's not enough petrol in the world.
I only that I own. How many copies of Street Fighter do you think I own?
At least 10. I don't know, Chris. All of them. You're the only person
you
who bought
all of them.
Just all the copies. I actually funded that movie.
Would not surprise me. He's an evil
genius.
Come
on, it has Kylie Minogue in it.
And.
And weirdly, Kylie Minogue can't do an Australian accent in that film, which just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, moving on from...
Do you know what would have made that film better? If Kylie Minogue had played Chun-Li, that's how fucking realistic it was.
Played with Chun-Li.
Good one. Yeah.
I'm not sure... yes. I was just going to say, when you said it would make it more realistic, realism isn't the thing I'm worried about in a Street Fighter movie.
Yeah, I didn't mean it. All right, for God's sake. I can't say anything today, can I? No.
I was...
Someone jumping on my back.
Or maybe I watched the Mortal Kombat movie.
I quite like that. It's not a bad film.
Right, I will hang up on both of you. I'm not scared.
Oh. Yeah, it's a good film. Give it a solid 4 out of 5.
Mm.
The acting is of particular note. Pretty good. Certainly up there with... films like Inception.
I warned you.
All right, next.
Dan will be back once he's learnt his lesson.
Did you hang up on Dan?
Yep, I'm not having that. He can come back when he's thought about what he said.
Okay. Has he thought enough yet? Can he come back?
We'll see.
Certainly on a par with Inception and stuff like that.
Anyway, have we got any other questions? Or
Peter asks, how awesome is the Street Fighter movie?
Right, I will hang up on you as well.
Okay. No, we don't.
Oh, he's gone. Shit, how do I get him back?
He's gone offline. I think maybe he just thinks he was dropping out of the call.
No, he knows I'll hang up on him.
Audio Worm doesn't have a question, but he has kind of a comment saying, just listening to last week's TSA cast, the reason Blops became so popular was because Activision removed any content that had Black Ops in the name pre-embargo. Blops was used by a lot of sites and YouTubers to bypass this. So that's quite interesting.
Mm. Daniel, have you thought about what you did?
Oscar-winning material, to be honest. But anyway, carry on.
and
don't push me, boy.
We have another question from Chris, CC Star.
Not too hard, anyway.
Well, this isn't a question. This is just
from who? Sorry,
from CC Star again.
What are you doing?
I'm reading what he says because it's not a question.
He's doing his perv voice again.
Yes. He was talking to Lo-Fi and he linked us to this, saying, "Do you want to discuss this?" Saying, "I'd hand over good money to that game company, Double Fine, Criterion, or Visceral if they were saying a dog shit. They're all that great." So are there any companies you feel like that about with games or films or anything?
Santa Monica.
Yes, what do they make?
God of
War. Oh yeah, they do, don't they?
What are you, a retard?
a retard? If that's how you say it, then I think that might be you.
Oh, Chris, you cannot comment on how people say things. And it was a joke. You retard.
Dan, any one that you'd...
Dan's not allowed to answer. He's not allowed to join in for 5 minutes.
Poor Dan.
You regret this.
Unless he apologizes. Unless he apologizes.
Never. You go and watch your crappy Inception. Shitty little God of War rubbish.
Oh.
Fine, I'll go.
I mean, I'd pay good money for... who was it?
Swedish Twins.
Looking for the company. Oh, it was okay. Well, I'd do anything that was written by Stephen E. D'Souza, personally. Anything that was both written and directed by Stephen E. D'Souza.
Written or directed by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. I can see why. Anything that has Batman in it.
Or dreams.
You'd pay money for anything that has dreams in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good choice. I wasn't saying anything.
What do you know?
No, I wasn't saying anything from Christopher Nolan that has Batman. I think just anything that has Batman in it.
Yeah, well, I'm saying anything that's got dreams in it.
What if they're really crap dreams?
But it's all encompassing. You could go from like kids' films right through to horror films. Mm.
Do you want to know why I'm so keen on Stephen E. D'Souza?
Why are you so keen on Stephen E. D'Souza?
It turns out he I mean, he was the genius who both wrote and directed the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, you're such a cunt.
So, that's
Daniel.
Yes. Yas.
What would you?
And I pissed you off so much that Dan is allowed back in.
Yes, I'm talking. I'm changing focus. Dan's been sitting nicely for a minute.
We're not pre-school.
I know. I'm only joking.
I'm not a child.
If I was serious, I would have forced the fact that you haven't called me Mr. Guest.
I only do someone that when you tie me up.
Someone suggested that.
As it should be, Daniel.
Someone suggested I should call you sir.
You say
I say
do you remember?
Don't knock it until you try it.
Do you remember who it was who said?
And when you try it, knock it.
Do you remember who suggested that we should... You should make us call you sir for the whole podcast.
I can't remember who it was, but it was a very good idea.
Yeah. I'm glad to see...
I might do that next week when Peter's back.
I'm not here next week, luckily.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Everyone's just taking time off.
I already told you this once today.
And? What, you expect me to remember?
Oh, okay.
Dan hasn't answered that question.
Yeah, Dan, is there anyone that you like, regardless of what it was, you'd just pay for it? Like any studio or...
Probably stuff by Treasure.
Hmm. What do they make?
Porn films?
No. Unless... Oh, that's why people have been looking at me weird when I've been asking for stuff by Treasure. No, they do stuff like Radiant Silver Gun, Ikaruga. Just basically shooters, bullet hell shooters. I quite like them. I'll probably just buy them without any review scores.
That's I really expected you to like come up with some massive name or something, and you pick someone I've never heard of.
Yeah,
because I'm wicked.
It's a weird.
Is it because they're Japanese? Is that why? Are they crazy? I've
just become addicted to Japan. Subconsciously been trained now to shun anything from the West.
It's like Serenity, you know, when they hide that subliminal messaging in the in the octopus. That's what they've done to Dan.
That's what Gundam actually is.
Didn't see Serenity. Serenity seems a bit shit. Certainly no Mortal Kombat, that's for sure.
Oh, well, nothing is on the level of Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's hard to compete with such a classic.
Yeah. People can try, though, I guess. Can't blame them for that.
They just never live up to it. That's the problem. What do you think, Lewis? Oh, he's giving us a silent treatment. Fair enough.
That's fine.
If I'm quick, I can avoid school disco. So, yeah, that's all the questions for this week. This has been episode 24 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been, as always, your host, Chris Lutzkin. I've been joined this week, filling in for Peter Chapman, by Dan Lee, who is the news editor over at SixExes.com. You can get Twitter.com for... Oh, fuck! I thought I was quick enough. Oh, that's fair enough. I like coming on. I was joined this week by Lewis Gaston as per normal, who you can get for the head of Rich Gringo. You can get at twitter.com/LewisGaston. And you can get me at twitter.com/HowlPro. I probably won't be here next week, so I hope you enjoy like proper insanity then. Listen to Colin Aline now. Alright, you done? Oh, Halo!
Halo? Don't be such a... Yeah. As if I'd have Halo.
What?
Wait for it.
I'm waiting. What the hell is this?
This is for my Muslim brethren.
Okay. It sounded like Halo.
What the fuck?
Have you not heard...
What, the Muslim was... level from Halo? Must have missed that one.
What, have you not heard like all the menu music from Halo? All the menu music...
Does it start off by going, Hola?
Yes. All the menu music from Halo is monks chanting.
They're not monks.
I know, but it sounds the same.
Everything slightly odd is a monk.
I meant more the chanting. I don't think that the people chanting makes much difference on the type of chanting.
What?
It does. I'm not too sure if a monk started chunking. chunking.
Right, get arrested for that.
No, Lewis, stop. We're ending this podcast.
You chuck one off.
This has gone far
enough.
I'm
not too sure if a monk started chanting that a Muslim would start praying.
Biscuits. This has been the Oscar White Year podcast, episode 24. Thank you all for listening.
Was it 25?
Thank you to 24. Everyone has AIDS. Thank you to Dan, who clearly has AIDS, for filling in for Peter. I probably won't be here next week, so someone might be filling in for me. Or it'll just be Peter. Oh no, it won't just be Peter and Lewis. That'd be terrible.
Oh, wait for it.
What?
There's monks again. Wait for it. Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-il. There you go. There's the monks again. That's iTunes fucked up that album royally.
Right. Yeah. So, thank you for listening. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. And oh, it's like, the song you wrote for me. Yours, damn right.
Say goodbye, Lewis. Was that your goodbye?
Goodbye.
That was Sam, by the way.
No, it wasn't.
All right. So, Lewis, you say goodbye now. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, that's it. Over. Dan's impersonation will do.
I like boys.
Well, Lewis, I never knew that.
Yes, you did.
Well, I did suspect it after the fact that Tough Cup's booming.
Yeah, it's finally taken a hold.
Who's taken a hold of what?
Tough Cup was talking to me about you the other day.
Why? Saying what?
I can't remember. It was on Monday. That's, you can't expect to remember things scary. On Monday. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he was saying things about you. I think he was bored, and
it's good
to know. One of the options he had for entertaining himself was sending you filthy pictures.
Sending me filthy pictures?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't received any yet. So he obviously found something else to distract him.